If you attended the chili cook-off a week or so ago, you have already heard that I have been attempting to grow some chili peppers. There are a couple of varieties of peppers from New Mexico, which I love, which are almost never available around here. So I decided to order some seeds and see what I could do. I got some seed starting trays. I got a plant light. I got some warming mats to put under the tray. Apparently some of the southwestern pepper varieties won't germinate without warm soil. I had numerous people come by the office and say, "What are you trying to grow over there, Pastor?" At least half of which suggested maybe it was marijuana, which is ridiculous. But now I have nearly 80 pepper plants growing in my office. When they're ready to go outside, I'll probably put out a call to see who wants to try to help grow some. Of course, it's just a pure coincidence that I'm growing peppers from seeds when this year we have this text that comes up in our three-year cycle where Jesus talks about a seed. But it made me think. When Jesus says a grain of wheat, which of course is a seed, a grain of wheat must fall into the earth and die in order to live, he is of course talking about his own death that is soon to happen in John's gospel. He's using a seed, a grain of wheat, as an image for what is about to happen to him. Now, those of you who know me, who've heard me preach many times, you know that I don't often preach about heaven and resurrection and what God has in store for us after we die. Mostly that's because I think that part, the life after death part, is in God's hands. That's God's doing. And what we as disciples of Jesus are called to focus on primarily is this life. I believe we're here to make a difference for one another and for the world, to be a sign here of the reign of God that's breaking into this world and will become a full reality in God's own time. In fact, I think we can and should even read Jesus' words today about a grain of wheat dying and bringing forth great abundance in both ways. At the same time, Jesus is making us a promise about life after death and proclaiming that we can find new life, abundant life, after each little death, each defeat, each trauma, each struggle and crisis that we face while going through this journey of life. To me, Jesus' words are words of hope, both for after our life ends and for this journey, which is too often filled with struggles and sadness and valleys of despair. But I think I would be remiss not to notice and not to make clear that in today's text, Jesus really is talking about the life which is promised after this one. He is quite directly, I think, in a way that he often, I think, is not, talking about resurrection life, which is made possible for us after we die because of his own death and resurrection. Right there in the text, there's a clue that this is what he's talking about. One of John's regular themes that pops out throughout the gospel appears in this text, the theme of seeing. You may remember John's gospel opens just after the announcement of the Word made flesh. It opens with Jesus inviting the disciples, "Come and see." And soon after that, the disciples are using the same phrase, They're inviting others. Come and see. And then again, in one of the greatest signs that Jesus does in John, the healing of a blind man, the blind man has a debate with the Jewish leaders, and he says to them, "You're refusing to see. God is at work." In the chapter just before this one, the story of Jesus coming to the tomb of his deceased friend Lazarus, the phrase "come and see" is used, but in the opposite way from normal. And Jesus becomes literally frustrated to the point of anger when his friends echo his words but use them in the opposite direction. What do they say? Do you remember what the friends said to Jesus? "Come and see that Lazarus is dead. Come and see that you got here too late. Come and see that death has won." Jesus gets so frustrated. After all he had taught them, his friends are still unable to see that in God, death is not the end. And that's why I think when this theme is immediately picked up in today's text, that Jesus is still talking about what happened with Lazarus. The theme of coming to see for yourself the good news of God. It runs all through the Gospel of John. And in today's story, in opposition to the one just before where they cannot see anything beyond death, today Jesus says to these Greek people, that is non-Jewish people, Gentiles, people from outside his inner circle who've come, who've heard. They come and say, "We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus too." And what does Jesus do? He responds by talking about his death, a grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying in order to bear fruit. Once you notice the connection to the previous story, it's so obvious. Come and see. See what? See that death is not the end. Because his friends had so much trouble seeing that Jesus, who is from God, brings life, abundant life, life that cannot be ended even by death. When these new disciples arrive moments later, he talks about that very thing, using this powerful metaphor, this image of a grain of wheat, a seed falling into the earth and dying. If it doesn't do this, Jesus said, if it doesn't die, it cannot live. In other words, Jesus says to them, "Yes, come and see. If you wish to see me, if you wish to see the one who sent me, if you wish to see the Father with whom I am one, you must, you have to, you absolutely have to see that the life I offer, the good news I bring, the hope, the peace, the way, the love, the truth, the life that I bring is that death is not the end." This is the good news. The fear of death, the fear of destruction, the fear of oblivion, which I think is the foundation of our sin, our brokenness, our evil. This fear, Jesus proclaims, it must be robbed of its power. The reign of the fear of death. Jesus says, "In me, the reign of the fear of death is ended." That's what empowers the servant life that he talks about. Just as a seed must fall into the earth and die in order to live again, to bring forth new life, to bear fruit, so too I will die and rise and rob death of its power. I will defeat the fear of death, destroy the power of death over humanity. This is the good news, friends. The Easter good news that we're now getting very close to. Life cannot be stopped by death. Life cannot be stopped by death. So as I was thinking about those pepper seeds that I planted a few weeks ago, they were like little dried up specks. Almost nothing. And now they're vigorous little plants full of life, hopefully bearing much fruit, that is many chili peppers. And as I was thinking about those dry, colorless, seemingly lifeless little seeds, I was thinking, well, of course we know that a seed is not really dead. It's just hibernating. But then I suspect it's likely that Jesus knew that too. And although we believe that Jesus really died, our understanding of his death and resurrection is that he, like all humans, truly expired. He was not play acting. He was not hibernating. He was not pupating like a butterfly. He was really, actually, in fact, in the tomb, dead. And yet, because Jesus was God, because Jesus was God in flesh and humanity, in truth, though he was dead, death was not. Death was without power. Jesus was truly dead, but for God, death holds no ultimate reality. It's not the final word. So there's no way that Jesus could stay in the grave. There's no way that he could not spring forth like this image that he used, full of new and abundant life, bringing life and freedom, vitality, joy, hope, power, love, pure, unconditional, unadulterated, unstoppable, unlimited love. Because Jesus was God, even though he fell to the earth and was dead in the tomb, there was no way that he could be stopped from bringing love to fruition, from bringing love to life, to all life, forever. Friends, this is the good news. In this life's journey and beyond this life's journey, God is love, and ultimate love brings abundant, eternal, everlasting life to us now and forever. Amen.